Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
So, here, a little bit of American history. It's July 4th weekend, and I want to give us a little bit of history. And then we're going to look at some biblical history. We're going to look at a glimpse of our own walk with the Lord. And then we're going to celebrate communion together this morning. So back in 1620, pilgrims started to set sail from Europe. Many who were leaving England. And there are also some separatists. You know, as Christians, we always try to look at something in history that says, see, those Christians back then, they anything in history that was Christian. And, well, I thought you were coming up, you were going to steal my Harley bracelet. I didn't know what you, thank you, honey. I thought I'm scooting out saying, hey, here's my opportunity. No, I'm messing with you. You can just set it there, baby. Thanks. As Christians, we always look back in history and say, hey, they did this because they were, fighting against where they didn't have religious freedoms. And so they came to the Americas. And I want you to know that there's some truth in that, but before 1620 and some of them setting sail for the Americas and us attaching it solely upon the purpose that they were wanting religious freedom because the Church of England was getting corrupt and they didn't want to deal with that anymore and they felt infringed and impressed upon to express their faith and the purity of the gospel. And so they were leaving because of religious, they wanted religious freedom. I want you to know that that's some of the truth. We as believers like that to be the only truth and wave the flag of that. And I want you to know that years earlier, there was opportunity for them to have religious freedom, and some of the separatists took that. And it was in 1608. They found religious freedom in Holland. And they went to Holland and they had found religious freedom where they could express their faith in Christ and the purity of the gospel. And yet economic times were very, very tough. They had hoped that something would probably develop, but they stayed very poor as they were in Holland. And back in England, those who didn't become separatists, many of them, now listen to this, this is interesting, many of them looked at the poverty, because part of the economics, I'll just tell you, economics and commerce was probably the most predominant motivator for people to leave England and eventually leave Holland, those separatists, they made their way. Times were very tough. The poor were extremely poor. That was probably the predominant motivator for people to leave England. In fact, I will tell you that if you search through history, you will find that there were those who wanted religious freedom, but they didn't go to Holland because things were so tough economically that they chose, listen to this, they chose that they would stay in England and they would rather live in prison than move to Holland and have spiritual freedom and face economic difficulty. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? Easy for us to maybe look back and make a judgment on that, but the reality is we're not in their shoes. I wonder how many of us would rather just continue in our sin because we just see the Christian life too hard. Just a side note. Anyhow, time unfolds. and the separatists who had religious freedom in Holland, they saw through time that morals continued to decay. Poverty became greater, a greater challenge for them. They saw the morals of the community start to affect their children. And so they came to a point where we need to leave here and we need to find a place where there's economic opportunity and there's religious freedom. And so the separatists left Holland. They couldn't go back to England. And they made their way to the Americas. Pilgrims that we label from England, they make their way from England. Now, I want you to know that time is fast forwarding here, and I want you to know that there were merchant adventurers or venture capitalists. And what they did is they funded, they paid, because they started to set up economic centers here along the eastern coast, northeast coast of the United, what we now know as the United States. They set up these economic centers. And so they funded even the Mayflower. They funded this project and people and money to come over here and continue to build wealth to then, of course, ship back to England. And so they were capitalists trying to make money off of this. They weren't about religious freedom. They weren't about all of that. It was just purely about money. But there were people who were looking at coming to the Americas, take the risk, take the journey, face what we must face, to have a maybe an opportunity, some type of hopeful promise of having an economic life. For those who were separatists who came from Holland, part of their motivation was they saw the new Americas as an opportunity to propagate the gospel. And so religious freedom was part of this journey for these people. But I want you to know that commerce, the chance of providing, the chance of having a better life and not living in continued poverty, was a great motivating factor for them to take such a journey, take such a risk for the promise of commerce. Well, we fast forward and we eventually hit the American Revolution, where England was basically ruling here on the coast of the Americas. They sent over military, sent over their army. They had business people, and they were making decisions back in England, and the Americas here had no representative. And over time, that began to tick a lot of people off who came over here. And England, because they helped out with the French and Indian War, they went to great expense. They had great debt. And so they heightened the taxes for those who were starting to build a life here in the Americas. The demand of taking their military into their homes and feeding them and caring for them as they travel around. You know, the people who were trying to build a life here, they became very frustrated. They became exasperated. It wasn't right. It wasn't fair. They came here and now they're, you know, they have all kinds of tariffs and they have all kinds of shipping regulations. All of this going on, and it just wore the people out. And it led to an American Revolution. And finally, in 1776, and you know this, the Continental Congress got together and they made a decision on July 2nd. They passed the Declaration of Independence. Now, they passed it on July 2nd, but they had to do some editing. And so when it was actually signed, it was on July 4th. And that's what you and I know as Independence Day. Independence from England, independence from oppression, independence from things that they didn't have liberty about, spiritually and economically and the life they wanted to build. Isn't it interesting that they took this journey, made this Declaration of Independence, got free from King George III and all the decisions he was making, had a shot that echoed around the world, all the battle happened, and at the end, the Americas or the America stood. It's interesting that they went through all of that and they got free and fought that oppression. Here's the hypocrisy. Here's the irony. Is they did all this to get free, and in time, they took unto themselves slaves. We ourselves want to be free, but we're going to enslave others. A little side note for us as believers, here we have this grace extended to us by God. We find freedom from being a slave to sin, bondage, where it rules us, and it robs from us, and it kills us, and just continues to steal from our life. Christ has made a way for us to be free. And I wonder through time if we in turn start to oppress others. Others who are in the faith, because maybe they don't meet our standards. Maybe their personal convictions aren't up to where mine are. What a hypocrisy. God has seen us through our journey, and we oppress those who are making it through their journey. I don't want that to be my life. Doesn't mean that anything goes. Doesn't mean that there's not instruction or correction. For those who are on the side who say, yeah, the church or these believers, they're just putting all this stuff on me. Oh, they're just so religious. Oh, that isn't the spirit of Jesus. And what you're doing is you just want to have the freedom to do what you want. And I want you to know that that doesn't fly. The freedom that Christ has brought to us for the forgiveness of sin and in this life empowers us to live the life not that we want, but the life that we should. A freedom to overcome the enemy, overcome ourselves, overcome the world, that we can live the life that we should live. You see, that's the freedom from self. In here, of when circumstances are good or bad, it doesn't matter because that is not where my freedom is. Oh, there's a measure of freedom. Do I like nice circumstances? Well, of course. Don't you? At the same token, that is not where our freedom is. Our freedom is in Christ, to die to ourselves, to live unto Him. That's freedom. Our liberty from me. A wonderful power of the Holy Spirit to come into the life of the believer, that the Spirit can overpower us if we submit to Him. You see, that's a liberty. That's an independence from sin. It's an independence from my flesh. You look in the Bible, you can see where different people make their journey. One of the obvious ones, we go to the Old Testament, we go to the book of Exodus. If you're not familiar with the Bible, that's you go all the way to the left and get through Genesis and go to Exodus, and you can read about the journey of God's people from being slaves in Egypt. And God made them a promise in another place, another land, flowing with milk and honey. Commerce. You're slaves. There's a promise of a better life. And God will bring you there. He promised. But they had to go through a wilderness. They had to exercise faith. They had to put their sandals on. They had to trust God to provide for them and yet be responsible to do their best. And they make their journey. And many of them, they forfeited the promise because they kept measuring circumstances. And measuring the circumstances caused them to have a sick spirit, caused them to complain, it caused them to murmur, caused them to miss out. That they themselves did not make it to the promise, but some of their children, some of their grandchildren did. How do we handle circumstances where we just don't feel like we're free? It's because we think our freedom comes from circumstances. So you look at Exodus, and you know, they traveled by sand. You know, the pilgrims, they traveled by sea. You and I, our journey isn't probably going somewhere else. It's trying to change the circumstances where we're at. We feel like we're oppressed by circumstances around us, things that we can sometimes not control ourselves, people making decisions for us. Hey, it's crummy, it hurts, it's disappointing, it's frustrating. You can speak up and you feel like maybe your voice isn't heard, but I want you to know with the change of those circumstances, that is not what brings your freedom. You look at biblical history. Here's God's people in Egypt. They're slaves. God brings them out. He brings them to a promised land flowing with milk and honey. They had to exercise faith. They had to go to battle. They had to, you know, stake claim and let the Lord be their victor. And the battle belongs to the Lord. They had to learn all these lessons of faith to get to this manifested promised land, that their freedom. And yet, we learn through the history of Israel, they weren't free. Circumstances could change and come and go, and they weren't free when circumstances changed. It's why Jesus had to come. Because circumstances are not our freedom. It's what Christ has done on a cross in the shedding of His blood to wipe away my history and my ills and my sin, and raised again to make a way for me. And in this life, we still make our journey of faith. You know, where's our emancipation of proclamation in our spiritual life? We have one in our history. It was illegal for anyone to have or own a slave. Yet we live in a day and age where there's so many slaves in America, trafficking, all kinds of sin and ills. Where's your declaration of independence from sin? Do you have a date? Do you have a July 4th of 1776? Do you have, maybe you don't have the specific date, but can you picture the place where you and Jesus came together and you put faith in Him? And from that moment, you had a declaration of independence from sin. Do you have your emancipation proclamation the day that you were no longer a slave to sin? Still got the hassles of this life and the difficulties of this life and the flat tire and the broken car and the can't quite pay my bill, or I don't have enough for groceries, or, you know, inflation has taken over, or whatever it is, and all of our circumstances, and we have to deal with it every day. None of us are immune to it. And listen, you can be very wealthy. It doesn't make you immune. Doesn't provide the guard of circumstances over your life. I know wealthy people, had a relationship, many of them are friends of mine, in different places we lived. But they face circumstances just like those who are friends of mine who don't have wealth. Don't let circumstances that you feel chained by cause your spirit to be chained. Christ has made a way for you in this life. No one is really free except in Christ. You see, He made it possible for us to overcome the world, the circumstances of this world. He's given us the power to overcome the world and to overcome our flesh, ourself. You know your tendencies. I know mine. The stuff that's improper, the stuff that isn't right. He has given us a power to overcome the world and our own flesh, and He's given us a power to overcome the devil. The one who wants to tear you apart, keep you in chains, He uses circumstances to try to get to your soul, because we are so sensitive to what we see and what we feel and what we can touch and what we have and what we don't have. Hey, we need things in this life. We need clothes. We need food. We need shelter. Our life here in America, we need gasoline. And may it be diesel. I know some of you here and you're very green. And I believe in it. It's not a political statement. I believe there's room for it. Yeah, I'm not going to say that. Okay, I'm moving on. That might have been a little bit of Randy and not Jesus, so I didn't want to say it. He's given us the power to overcome. Listen, you know, when we come to Christ, sometimes we have this expectation that just all my circumstances are going to change now. Jesus is so good. He forgave me. I'm serving him. I've been going to church. I even threw some money in the offering. I even volunteered in an area in the church where it's just not my thing, but I'm doing it. And we build this list of things we're doing right, and we think, therefore, now it obligates God to do something and change my circumstances. God is interested in you. He's interested in your faith. He's interested in the eternal part of you. And it's not that he's not interested in the temporary things, because I know he is. He's interested in your circumstance, but he's more interested in you and what's happening in you and who you are and the person you're becoming. And are you experiencing what he purchased for you and I? The power and the liberty and the freedom of his Spirit to cause us to become the person we should, rather than the person we think we can be and what we should have. Listen, there's nothing wrong with stuff and things and wealth or whatever you want. But he's after our heart. And when we start looking at all the circumstances and stuff and we just make that our whole focal point, we're missing the point of what God has done for us to bring us freedom. You can be free in here. You can be free in here and be in prison. That's your circumstance. Eventually, it's going to go away. Right? Eventually, your circumstances are going to go away. But what about your spirit? What about the eternal part? That's the part that we want to be taken up to be with him. And then this stuff, it's over. For us, we step into timelessness with him. Who he is, what he's done, the glorious Lamb of God, this one who we've trusted in all these hardship, that we finally get to see him face to face. Face to face. We can't do that now because no man can see God and live. It's holy. And what a freedom and what a liberty. You see, eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has prepared for those who love him. Not those who have sentiment just for him, but who love him. And those who love him do what? Obey him. They step into this freedom and they make this journey. And it's hard on our flesh, but with it comes great liberty because we discover what freedom is. That the world has no hold on us. And my flesh has been overcome by the Spirit of God within us. Your life, my life, it's a journey. Will we embrace the new? So many people, they just get so angry with God. You ever been angry with God, mad at God, because you didn't do things your way, and you had a really great plan? You ever get angry with him? You ever get mad at him? Didn't seem to go your way? It's just a reminder that my flesh is still a little too strong. I'm choosing to live in the bondage of my futile thinking, limited to the scope of what I can see or what I can scheme, rather than going through the wilderness and becoming a man of faith. Where's your declaration? I'm grateful for our history. I'm grateful for the biblical history with all the flaws of humanity revealed to us, just like if we dig into American history, we see all the flaws of even our history of this great country we call free. And it brings me to a personal faith. Am I free? Do I live by this declaration of what Christ has done? Realizing that my circumstances are going to come and go. And where we can change them with good effort and good faith, hallelujah. And when it changes, may we be a blessing to others. You see, the grace that has been given to me, I am supposed to give to other people. That's what a Christian does. That's who a believer is. Not one who becomes so religiously spirited they don't allow others to make their journey with a helping hand and with grace and mercy. Because I will tell you, none of us in this room, the freedom we have was based on our righteousness or our hard work. It is grace through faith in Christ alone, no work of our own that we could boast. That's what Paul writes. Listen to this in Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm closing with this. Chelsea, I know you made your way up here and your timing is good. Listen to this, Ephesians chapter 2. And you were dead in trespasses and sins, yet you were living this life, right? Just lost and in darkness, a slave to sin. You were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. We're going to find out, see, he's given us a power to overcome the world, our flesh, and the devil. That's what he just mentioned, those three. It's how we once lived. Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our own flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But, say it, but, here's the good news. Here's our freedom. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved you, even when you were dead in your trespasses, your slavery, your chains of sin, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And your circumstance is going to change. Watch this. And raised us up with him, seated us with him in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.